effects of the scare about the Ice Age that made it on the cover of Newsweek in the 70s, but how much that has created a scepticism within the journalism profession that has made it harder for journalists to deal with the onset of the science of climate change. Do people know about this, the culmination? Do you know about the...
Yes, and I mean, and there are other things like, do you remember when Paul Ehrlich in the late 60s, the Club of Rome, and, you know, overpopulation, and, I mean, there has been a history of those sorts of things. They don't help. They don't help, particularly when one has an editor who's inclined to conspiracy theories.
Let's have a few questions and button them up because there's the AGM, I take it,
yes.
Coming up for lunch.
Can we just delay I'm sorry, people, I did this yesterday as well. We're just going to make everything 15 minutes later.
Good. Excellent.
The responsibility.
Great.
So, we're going for 15.
That's good. Julie first, and then up there. Yeah, Julie, go.
Hi, so I just wanted to first congratulate you on extraordinary bravery, because I can only imagine what it must take to stand up and so frankly and forthrightly and so powerfully critique your former employer on such a fundamentally important issue, at the same time as journalism is looking at objectivity. There are consequences to journalists taking activist stances, which we're trying to encourage here, and you represent one of those consequences. So thank you, and congratulations on getting out.
Yeah, but it worries me. I don't know that getting out was... I mean, I couldn't do it anymore, but I hung in there for a long time because I thought it was important that at least I was in there trying, but I just... my health gave up. I couldn't do it.
Margo, if I could... one of the things I've just been looking at is declining trust in journalism. And when you look at the American situation, you can see that there's a really strong correlation between the lack of trust around the American government and the weapons of mass destruction from late 2000 through the Gulf War to the, you know, oh my God, they're not actually there. As trust in government declined, it seems that there's a parallel decline in the trust of journalism and people kind of giving up a little bit. And I'm wondering whether you think there might be a similar link with climate change here. The failure of Copenhagen to actually deal with the issue, whether it's deliberate on the part of governments who just wanted to obfuscate and make a fuss, or whether it was a genuine failure of people coming to consensus, and the media's coverage of that, if the public sees that these things are a failure, and they give it, you know, the kind of resignation of them giving up because they see it as a failure. I wonder if you think there's a link there. And just for you, Ace, have you ever done a story on News Limited's policy of carbon neutrality? And I wondered whether Chris Mitchell might have thought that was a sort of fascist green plot. And is it still in place? I think it's 2005 that Murdoch announced that.
As far as I know, it's still going.
The decline in public interest, and I think that actually probably hit newsrooms and editors more than the climate, you know, the sceptics' arguments around ClimateGate. I mean, there's still, the impression I get is that most editors have a view that sceptics, like Moncton, for instance, are a bit, you know, are loony fringe. And but the thing that did, I think, hurt the story was the failure at Copenhagen. And don't forget, you've just got to look at this practically. People invested a lot of resources. I mean, the BBC put in so many resources to covering Copenhagen. We stayed on air, an extra 2 weeks later. You know, everyone was grumpier in the office. And then, you know, it just ended in sort of nothing, you know. And so I think there's been a backlash against that and a recalibrating of where do we go from here? Because in the lead up to Copenhagen, it's right, this is a story, we need to do something about it, and then it just sort of petered out. So I think you're right.
Can we, before we go on, I just want to hear briefly from Julie as well, but we need to remember that the Copenhagen failure, of course, wasn't the journalist's fault.
No.
It's quite important to keep that in mind. But Julie, can we hear from you? You who, you know, went from to Greenpeace, but when you made that shift and saw it from one side of this whole thing,
I'll just refer to what Wendy said, opening up the question she addressed at the beginning, and that is that if this is true, if climate change is real, if we do risk this, if by, as Jim Hansen says, the end of the century, there will be a remnant tribe of people living somewhere around the Arctic, what would we do? And I guess my answer to that is I used to write for the Financial Review, I now work for Greenpeace. You know, there's a million reasons for that, but one of the reasons is that's what people like me do. And partly it's, you know, there are a million reasons for it, and I've just been interested to note that so far Fairfax has got off lightly. And as a former Fairfax